So today we're going to talk about disruptions, divine disruptions that God sends into our lives that change us and makes us go in different directions. Major events sometimes that do that. COVID was such a thing for many folks. We were closed here for 14 Sundays because of COVID. And I think if I would do it over again, we wouldn't do it that way, but we just didn't know what we were dealing with. I conducted 3 funerals for people that died of COVID, so it was a serious thing. But I found myself really despairing during that time. And it was during that time I was in my office, and Greg Vandermeer, who was at that time the pastor of Fellowship Reformed, or he was the pastor of Fellowship Reformed, he's at Fairhaven Ministries now in Jenison. And what Greg did is he came to see me and he said, what are we doing with all this? Because Fairhaven was closed down too. And he says, maybe it's a good thing that the Lord has put us experienced pastors in charge during a time like this. Because between the two of us, there's like 75 years of experience. So that made me feel a little bit better. He said, now we're set free to do whatever Jesus has called us to do. I thought that was kind of cool that he said that too. And then he goes, but the real reason I'm here is someone in my congregation started this program called Hand to Hand. And it's not doing much in Muskegon. And we're wondering if we could get a church involved in that. And that's how Hand to Hand got started. We were dealing with all this stuff. When we got back together, our attendance was cut in half. We thought, oh man, how are we going to survive this? But Hand to Hand came out of this, which is a really good ministry. And also the videos. We weren't making videos before that. Somebody came up to me the first week we were closed and said, why don't you start making videos? So I set my phone on the table here and shot a video. What was so interesting about that is last week when I was putting this together, I checked the number of views that we had, and it was low for a number of video views. We had 1,340 views that we never would have had it not been for COVID. So see, the Lord sends these disruptions, as unpleasant as they can be at the time, for our good. A few years ago, cancer decided to visit my house. We got through that. And what it did for me is it makes me now appreciate every day. Gave me a complete change of perspective. I have to ask myself frequently, what am I going to do with the rest of the days that God gave me? How am I going to handle that? And then a few years before that, we had just put this addition up. We had what's called the Great Recession. Our income here was down by 40% over a 6-month period. We were laying people off. To me, it looked like Lake and Bethel was going to have to close. Fortunately, we didn't have any debt, but it looked really scary for a while. I even started looking for another job. I didn't know if we were going to survive or not, but it came back. And I realized through that ordeal how much we depend on God's daily providence, that no matter how bad I mess up, God's not going to allow the church to close. He keeps it going. We learned some important lessons through the recession. And then, like most of us, occasionally we have a death in the family. And I remember going through that, sitting in a funeral home during visitation in Sioux Center, listening to people talk about the person who had died during the visitation. And during that sad particular time, I realized, hey, I can write a new ending to my own story because I'm not dead yet. So I can change and I can make things better. And it made me realize I'm here to help. And my sense of compassion increased dramatically. That disruption in my life was a good thing. And then when I was 27 years old, just out of seminary, I got divorced. It was a horrible time. Here I was. I was this young pastor in South Dakota, and I was a champion of the right wing of the Reformed Church. I was going to be the conservative brains of the Reformed Church, what I wanted to do. But I found out that when I got divorced, they all turned on me. You know, I'd grown up producing beef and pork, and, you know, with pigs, if you got a whole bunch of them in a pen and one of them gets injured, the rest of them tackle him. Pigs turn into cannibals once they get the taste of blood. And they'll do that. You have to quickly take the injured one out. I always say take him out of general population, put him into solitary till he heals up, because otherwise the other pigs will kill and eat him. That's how I felt with my conservative peers when I went through a divorce. I found out that the church in those days shoots its wounded. And that was a very definite thing. That's not what the church should be. So because of that experience, acceptance became a major theme in my ministry. It still has to this day. Disruptions have shaped me, just like they shape all of us. God often speaks through disruptions. And if you live long enough, you will have those kinds of disruptions. Disruptions happen. And God will speak to you through them. Now, whether or not you listened is up to you. Today we're going to look at how God disrupted the life of a guy named Saul. We're in the book of Acts. And this fellow named Saul, he had two names, which was common for the Jewish people of that day. They had a Hebrew name and a Greek name. His Hebrew name was Saul and his Greek name was Paul. And those are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament. Now, we're going to start with Acts chapter 9 today. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains." See, he was kind of a nasty guy. And what he, you know, just prior to this in Acts chapter 8, you see Saul supervising the execution of a guy named Stephen, who was very involved in this fledgling church movement. Now, why was Saul so eager to kill these followers of Jesus? What was behind all that? And again, I think his ego. His ego couldn't handle anyone who had a different point of view than what he had, especially when it came to religion. It reflected his insecurity. He was not a mature adult, but he was powerful and influential. The narrative goes on and says, "As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do.'" He was literally knocked off his high horse. Now, it was a couple of days' trip from Jerusalem to Damascus. There's no mention of a horse in the narrative, but we just assume that he didn't walk, and that would have been what he was doing. Now, there's some interesting symbolism here, and you know, the book of Acts was written by Luke, or edited by Luke, the same guy who did the Gospel of Luke, and there is a symbolism of light. You see, Paul was in the dark, or Saul was in the darkness here, but he had this divine disruption. He said he was going to be told what he needed to do. It was Saul's turn to report for duty to Jesus. He would be done serving his own ego. Now he was going to be serving Jesus. It goes on, "The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. See, so this platoon that he had with him didn't see the light. They just heard the voice. And Saul stands up and he's blind. Again, the light as a symbol. The light revealed Saul's blindness. So he didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. That was customary in those days. If you wanted to hear God's voice that determines God's will, you didn't take anything in. I don't think that would work for me. I'm about a two-hour baby. You know, I have to nurture myself often, and I've never tried not eating or drinking for 3 days, but I don't even think that'd be healthy. So don't try that at home, folks. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." So here you have Ananias reporting for duty. Now, vision was a common thing. It's kind of like a dream. And Ananias obviously interpreted it with critical thinking. And here you see some of his thinking in this next paragraph. "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" See, what Saul was doing was not authorized by the government. You know, it was not authorized by Rome. So it was kind of like a gang activity. He was just going around imprisoning and killing people. And here Jesus says to him, "You're my chosen instrument. I'm going to show you how much you must suffer." And indeed he did. Next week we'll talk about how he was imprisoned and beaten and all kinds of things like that. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Now, again, you have the light and the blindness metaphor here. You know, Saul was blind in his rage and in his serving his own ego. And in this instance, he was given physical blindness to match his spiritual blindness. When the spiritual blindness left, his physical blindness was mercifully restored. And it talks about he was baptized, and I'm sure that was one of many baptisms that he'd gone through. In those days, the Jewish people had a baptism pretty much every time they went into the temple. It was a common ritual thing there. And so this was probably one of many. And it was at this point that his fast ended. Saul had a divine disruption that changed his life forever. He ended up writing half of our New Testament. And the spread of the gospel in the continent of Europe is largely because of him. He goes first to Greece and then Macedonia and all over the place. Because of him, we are probably Christians today because of what Paul did. So it was a big deal what he did. We all go through these divine disruptions. They are very common for all of us. I'd like you to take a moment to think of the divine disruptions in your own life, the big disruptions, things that have happened that have been life changers for you. Then ask yourself, what was God trying to say to you through them? Because everything that happens, everything, can be used to make you more Christ-like. The question is, how will you respond? When people first started following Jesus, it really bothered Saul. He couldn't handle people who disagreed with him on religion. Just couldn't handle it. He was a bully, a murderer even. Several people were put to death because of him. Then after a divine disruption, he grew up. It was an amazing change. He stopped persecuting people and started praying for them. And he got along with all kinds of folks. He became kind and generous. My favorite New Testament scholar is William Barclay, and he has a quote, not on this passage, but the one for next Sunday, where he says, if your conversion to Christianity has not made you kind, that conversion is not real. It has to affect you in that way. Now, Saul here was willing. He was willing to report for duty. And this can happen to you too. Now, all of us have a determining factor in our lives, kind of a throne, if you will. And for most people, your ego is on that throne. You become slaves to the opinions of other people, or at least to what you perceive as their opinion is. You become insecure and argumentative. You can replace that ego by putting Jesus on the throne. And that gives you wonderful freedom. All of a sudden, you don't have to be right all the time. That's what happened to Paul. He realized he didn't have to be right all the time. People don't have to do things your way to make you happy. What matters is what you're doing for Jesus. And when that happens, your life becomes much easier and happier. You find yourself growing up. Like Saul, you'll see the light and make changes. So value your disruptions. They're going to come anyway. You might as well listen to what God has to say through them. Let God speak to you through these disruptions that happen to your life, in your life. Now, if you all use your divine disruptions, we'll have a church full of mature people. We won't be condemning people who don't think like us. We won't be rejecting people who don't live like us. We'll make a positive difference in the community. We'll love and serve. We'll be the presence of Jesus in a world that really needs him. I'm trying to think of a kind way of saying this, but you know, that old Saul, he was a real jerk before Jesus gave him a divine disruption. The divine disruption in his life, getting knocked off his horse that day, started a chain of events that changed him. Well, guess what, folks? Jesus is working on each one of you, too. He's working on me and he's working on you. He's got plans for you. And there's going to come disruptions. And when they come, listen, because he's got something to say to you. Let's pay attention to him and see what he has to teach us. Because then life will be better and eternal life will be coming. Pray with me, please. Lord, as we get these disruptions in our lives, we get a little stressed out. But today I want to thank you for the disruptions that came in my life. And we can all give you thanks for the disruptions that have come and that are still to come. We thank you for it. Give us the courage to listen to you speak to us as these things come around. We want to be able to report for duty. We want to put you on the throne of our lives. And we want to change the way you want us to change. Amen.